hold on to your butts. It's time for a new episode of Destroy All Culture, a sonic death ray from Dimension X that sounds exactly like a weekly podcast hosted by Adam P. Nave and Aiden Morgan. Exposure to Destroy All Culture is 100% fatal, so we put it on the internet. Now listen and die. Lethal effects may take up to 75 years. And welcome to episode 96 of Destroy All Culture with Aiden Morgan and me, Adam P. Nave.
Hello, hello, hello.
Refresh browser for robot.
Yes, refresh browser for robot. That's an in-joke, people.
I will explain, just there was an audio issue, and I had to essentially restart my browser. But first I tried refreshing it to reconnect to the service that we use, and I apparently sounded like a robot. It's not a great in-joke, it just made us laugh. But refresh browser for a robot is apparently what happens. And, So we were joking that, like, that there should be, like, some shitty, like, cover band with that name. And it reminded me of, you know, because Portland, occasionally Portland is very much Portland, like, the Portland that you think it is.
Right.
It's not always. I mean, oftentimes it's just a normal mid-sized town, you know, like Boston in the 90s. Like, it's perfectly fine. But every now and then, people in this town go like, oh yeah, we're supposed to be like fucking Portland, right? So let's just do some weird shit.
Right.
There was one day, it was years ago now, I think, walking along Hawthorne, and there were a bunch of kids, like, playing music, but they were using an accordion, and they were doing Push It.
Hmm. Oh, that makes sense.
Well, it does in theory, until you actually had to listen to it.
I think I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
in the sense that you can actually play that little riff from Push It on an accordion, but why would you want to?
Right. And then they just kept going.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Anyway. So what we didn't do, of course, is our normal... I don't know why we didn't, but we didn't do our normal, hey, let's talk about this stuff before the show. So...
We didn't, so...
We're just going to wing it.
Exactly. Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day.
So
I mean, we're a day past St. Patrick's Day, but
I have issues with St. Patrick's Day.
You do.
Hmm. Well, you know, in New York, especially, like the St. Patrick's, it's a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
It is just this huge parade. It's a nonsense bullshit thing. But I've always had this weird issue with, like, let's, you know, there are a bunch of, like, there's the Puerto Rican Day Parade. There's, you know, all these, but like. For some reason, the St. Patrick's Day Parade is because, you know, they're white. And, it's a huge deal. But it really does come down to, let's celebrate this culture through alcoholism. Like, I don't quite get what they think that they're saying.
Yeah, we're all sort of sitting around and remembering how the Irish are, like, you know, how like, alcoholism is rampant amongst Irish culture because of the, you know, Catholic repression and poverty and whatnot? Is that what I'm getting?
I guess. I mean, it's just like, it's one of those things of like, well, think of like another, like most like holidays, the way you celebrate them says something about, you know, like Thanksgiving, you have a big meal together, right?
Right.
You know, it says something about the season or whatever it is. But like St. Patrick's Day, as a holiday, as an event, really is just like, let's celebrate a hurtful stereotype. That impacts the entire community, that we're like, yay, what? Like, you motherfuckers. Like, I feel like this whole St. Patrick's Day thing was started as, like, a mean joke and just caught on.
You know, that's quite possible. Actually, I'm actually really curious as to how Patrick's Day celebrations, like, went from just, like, a regular, like, Saint's Day to, like, being, like, an excuse for a ginormous piss-up.
Well, I think that's exactly all that happened was one of these, well, we're going to do this, and hey, look, it's an excuse to fucking get drunk, and Americans will take that excuse.
Of course.
Yeah. It's troubling.
I would also like to submit.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what else would you like to submit?
I would like to submit Snakes on a Plane for the official St. Patrick's Day movie.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah?
Yep, I see exactly why.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because... And I don't know how I know this, but I do. Samuel L. Jackson's character in the movie, his name is Neville Flynn.
Really?
So he basically sounds like, and like, it, the name was clearly invented to make him sound kind of like a dashing sort of figure, but it's also vaguely Irish sounding enough so that
That you could
so that
make the
maybe
joke, yeah.
that you could make the joke. But they cast Samuel Jackson, which is
A
in
great choice,
even
but.
funnier. I know it's a great choice. It's just really funny that clearly at some point they had a different idea, and then somebody said, "Hey, Samuel Jackson will do this." And they said,
Hey,
"Holy shit,
there are
yeah."
black people in Ireland. There are black Irish people. Come on.
There are true, although Black Irish is not, that's not a, that's the same thing, but there are black people in Ireland. It's quite true.
Right, no, blackout, not the same thing. Oh.
But here's my issue
Yeah.
with St. Patrick's Day. You're aware of my name. It's Aidan Morgan. It's a kind of an Irish sounding name, would you not say?
Vaguely, yeah.
Vaguely, you know the name Aidan, the name Morgan. You just do not get much more Irish than that on this frickin' side of the pond. And so, of course, you know, my father's family is Irish by way of Northern England. So there's all kinds of like, we've spent our lives basically putting up with every kitschy version of Irish culture, all the way from like, you know, Celtic Twilight harp music, to like St. Patrick's Day stuff, to frickin' U2, and you know, and on, like everything annoying that is exported from Ireland as culture.
Right.
But my real problem is that in all of my 4.5 decades on Earth, nobody here has ever said to me, "Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day, Aidan. I noticed your name was Irish." Nobody. Ever.
Well, see,
What a
it that's
bunch of
actually kind of
jerks.
funny because I have like almost no Irish blood in me, but because I have red hair, people assume that I must be Irish because I'm from New York and I have red hair. And I'm
There
like,
you go.
no, it's Eastern European and like a little bit of Norse, which is corrupting that.
Right. And
You like the
it's the
fuckers?
Norse, it's that Norse blood that actually makes the Irish so freaking pale. And the Spanish blood
Right.
that gives you black Irish. But yeah, that's the thing. I'm like, I don't look Irish. Like, I don't look typically Irish. I mean, I look like I have this like thin face from that's very Irish, but the rest, all my coloring is all Portuguese. So people just look at me and they think, "Oh, he's Greek or Jewish or something." But certainly not Irish. So,
Right.
just even despite the name. So, but I would like somebody to say Happy St. Patrick's Day to me once. Just once.
Just once. Well, because I have a weird relationship with St. Patrick's Day anyway, because it's not something I've ever celebrated. The closest I ever came to it was I had a client that was on one side of Fifth Avenue, and I had to get to them one year in the afternoon on St. Patrick's Day, and the train station exit that I had to take put me on the other side of Fifth Avenue, which is normally not a problem, except the parade was going by.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm like, A, I have to stand this parade. B, I have to try to get across the street sometime in the next, like, I don't know, not 2 hours. So I was like, I'm just gonna wait for a lull, which there are in any parade, like there are little bits of lulls, and just try to make it, just to hell with it.
Oof.
And kind of got swept up in the parade for a few blocks, but because there was just no way out. But no, past that is like there was a science fiction convention in New York I used to help run, and did run for a while, which usually took place around this weekend.
Ah, okay.
And my father's birthday is St. Patrick's Day. Well, was St. Patrick's Day. So it's like I had all these connections to St. Patrick's that had nothing to do with. So he was like, "Oh, St. Patrick's Day." I'm like, "Oh, you mean it's this weekend?" Like,
Right. I've got other stuff to do.
yeah.
I think of it as Adam's Dad Day, you said to people who
Right,
are like, "Isn't that your dad?" And it's like, "Yes, Adam's Dad Day."
So outside of
I
St.
don't
Patrick's Day.
I'm not sure why I
Oh.
opened my mouth and talked there, but I did.
Yeah, no,
Outside of
you're
St.
good.
Patrick's Day, I watched,
Outside of St. Patrick's
yeah, on St. Patrick's Day, but outside of it, I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I did catch up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week.
Do you know what's really weird about this section, this whole sort of run of episodes, like the
Yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? clearly they're in last season mode. Like they've very much
like they
are
in fact writing it like they, this might be their last season. They are in fact doing that on purpose.
Exactly. So there's all these callbacks to earlier seasons, earlier characters, like sitting around and remembering moments. There's a little funny little bit where they're sort of remembering moments from earlier of their adventures, and I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, I don't remember any of this shit. It was all
like,
so
I remember
freaking
some
boring.
Of it. Yeah. I mean, well, and part of it was that not this last episode that we watched again. You know, this stuff goes up later. But
right.
But recently did the 100th episode, of course. So they're not only in final season mode, but they were also in like 100th episode. Let's remember back everything.
Oh,
which
that's
I think a lot
what
of the
was,
like
okay.
Remember this. That was the 100th episode with the wedding and all that. That's why they did everything.
Right.
But, oh god, and can I just tell you that, like, that whole 100th, and again, spoilers if you haven't been watching S.H.I.E.L.D., but the entire, like, Deke is secretly their grandkid thing, when they, when he was like, oh, I got this ring from, like, you know, it was like my mother's, da da da, and I'm like, okay, so this is obvious, and they're like, but in case you didn't get it, it was just such a weird, like,
I know, they
we don't
just
trust our audience moment.
Yeah, they really, really hammered that in. I'm like, because it was like, oh, there's the reveal. And then they're like, and once more for the cheap seats. And it was, yeah. It was typically like, it was that kind of hand-holding that actually kind of ruined the moment for me.
Right. And I was wondering, like, why would they do this? And then I realized why they're making sure that like, this is a big deal. Because we're going to know that they wiped out that future when he vanishes.
Oh.
Like, that's going to be the big sad thing. It's like, well, but if we wipe out the futures, then our grandchild doesn't exist. It's like, but he will, just in a different way. And then we'll get, like, some sort of cut forward to, like, him eating oranges on a beach or some shit.
Okay, this last episode, they pulled out a little trope that... this is episode 13, by the way, people. Which is possibly one of the most annoying tropes of all time. I just have a particular hatred of this move. When somebody pulls out like a funny little phrase that somebody in the family says.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then you call back to it. And it's like, you've never heard, like in 5.5 seasons, we have never heard Gemma saying this phrase before. And it's like just she just picks that moment, and it's also like that is like also in these things it's always like this is a funny thing that my family's member said all the time, and it's always something that just sounds so dumb and generic. It's like nobody would say that ever. It's like
right.
Why would you repeat something this stupid? Which in this case is the, you know, it doesn't matter what steps how big the steps you take are as long as they're in the right direction. I'm like. Somebody said that to me, I'd say, shut up. Never again.
Well, it actually reminded me of one of the good examples of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the only good examples of it I can think of. It's a book I don't think you've actually gotten around to reading yet. It's the sequel to Heroes Die, Blade of T'Challa, which I keep mentioning that you should eventually read. but in the sequel, we get this phrase that the main character's like father always says. And it just kind of comes up a few times. It's like just good life advice, you know, and like the character says it and he remembers it like his father would say it. And then his father says it like it kind of comes up naturally, though.
Yeah.
But it has no real point past a here's like a motivational sentence that is just it runs in the family.
Right.
And that's fine. Yeah. Right.
Sure. Yeah. It's just
then there's a scene later where essentially it is like he's like, OK, this is what I have to do. But he's literally doing it. And it felt so natural because you don't see it coming.
Okay.
Because it's just like, here's the situation, and you're not thinking of it because it's just a normal, it's just a phrase. And it doesn't come up that often. And then he kind of remembers it, and he never actually is like, you know, it's funny because I'm doing this literally. It's just like, he just kind of remembers it, and then that's literally what he's doing, but he doesn't draw the connection. He just leaves it there with the, if you notice this, that's kind of funny. If you don't, it doesn't matter.
Huh.
And like, that's the way to do that sort of thing, you know?
I agree. You know, but you know the way I would do it if I were writing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Instead of, like, a little saying like that, I would have Gemma, like, pull out a helium balloon, inhale it, and then, like, just rap out all the lyrics to, like a Nickelback tune real quick.
It reminds me of that time my grandmother used to say that she would never let me down. She would never, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
She used to
but
say
anyway.
That I was an all-star. somebody
hey,
else told me.
Hey now, I was an all-star. I got my game on. Got played. I don't remember all those lyrics. It's funny,
but
my review of Popeye's Chicken, I actually referenced Smash Mouth for some reason.
I got nothing.
So there wasn't really much you could pick up on with that line.
Yeah, it just kind of happens. I'm trying to think what else, because I've been like scattershot still catching up on TV. Like, I think I'm finally caught up now. Timeless came back. I don't know if you saw the first episode the other week.
I did. That was pretty damn delightful.
It was, and yet.
And yet. It certainly was a little more serious than the frothier hijinks of first season Timeless.
Well, sure, but if you remember, like, the first episode of Timeless was also very serious, and they slowly eased back, and I think they're kind of following the same pattern. My problem is, if you're trying to save the show, this episode was the wrong way to do it. I cannot imagine turning into the show and being like, well, everyone's talking about the show, and I haven't had time to catch up, let me watch it.
I'm pretty sure that they've decided that Kripke and Ryan sat down and said, do we want to bring in new viewers, or are we just going to reward the viewers that we had? And I think that's the choice they made.
Right, because what are our chances of getting another season anyway? Let's just do it.
Yeah. I mean, I love the show, and I was watching this episode, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't really remember some of the things they're talking about. Like, it was that sort of inside baseball. But I still quite enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it, too. I also feel like it weirdly suffered from Legends having a really good season. For me.
That
Legends having a whole lot of fun and being goofy and like, we're the worst at this. And it's like, and then you go to like the Timeless group and it's like, hey, yeah, lighten up. Like, because it reminded me that there's an upcoming episode, I don't know if you know this, with Legends. So you know, their big bad Malice for the season, over in Legends, is voiced by John Noble.
Oh, I did not know that.
We've only heard him a little bit, and I was like, I wonder who this is. It's John Noble. But when I was digging into it to try to find this, they mentioned, like, the weird thing is that they're never going to really have John Noble on screen. You know, it's going to be CG, it's going to be a voice, it's not like John Noble's going to come out. Like they did with the whichever one of the evil speedsters that was.
Right. I don't know which one it was.
Yeah. So, on the other hand, like, I guess partially as just a, oh, hey, we're sorry about this, there's an episode coming up whose title is Guest Starring John Noble.
Oh.
Where the Legends have to go somewhere in time, I guess the present day, I don't know, like maybe he's an anomaly, and save John Noble, who is playing himself.
Oh my god. That sounds so great.
Absolutely. That's just so like purely Legends. Like,
I know, and it's funny. I am way behind. Like, I am essentially, I have not seen anything past with Legends, past the Crisis. So I'm essentially half a season.
This last episode was Elvis, and they did their normal job on race relations, which is to say they handled it weirdly.
right.
You know, because on the one hand, they're like, they're trying to find a way to be like, well, Elvis just kind of took black music and made it popular for white people, but they also don't want to actually come out and say it, so they kind of it was weird. It was very weird.
Do they have a scene with a black musician like handing him a suitcase and saying, "There you go, Elvis. There's all our music."
No, but
enjoy.
No, but yeah, it's a very weird episode.
Huh.
Including, like, someone, like, putting Elvis in jail when he's, like, a kid, and telling him, like, you know, what is it, like, the jailhouse will rock you, like, to your senses.
Oh, boy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Legends.
Yeah, like, it has these moments where it's just like, oh, guys, really? But a bunch of the post-crisis stuff has been hysterical.
Oh, I believe it. You know, it's like one of these things where I actually have the episodes waiting for me to watch, but
right. They do a Groundhog Day episode, by the way.
Oh, excellent! I knew that. And
when they do a Groundhog Day episode, not the character, but like, you know, it's one of the things of like characters caught in a loop and all this and needs help and tells another character, like, I'm caught in this loop. Like Groundhog Day? Like, they just lean in the way that Legends does now.
Exactly. Oh, that's so good. Yeah, they really
but they
don't
actually use
give...
it really well, character-wise. Hmm. They use it really smartly. Because, spoiling nothing about the episode, but the whole, you know, part of their problem has been they added Zari, and she hasn't been there long, right?
Right.
But we also know they're going to add, well, they actually kind of already have, you haven't seen it yet, but they add Wally West to the team.
Yeah, I knew
that Wally
West.
And part of the problem
was
you had to fold Zari in closer to the team, and actually, because she's always been kind of the outsider.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to fold her in close before you bring in someone new to be in the new spot, right?
Right.
So you put her in the time loop so she has to deal with the cast over and over and over again and build a connection to them. Even if the cast, the rest of the team doesn't know why, although obviously, you know, it's all explained. But it helps build her emotional bonds to the rest of the team and folds her in a really nice shorthand way. Because, you know, she's done this for X number of times and they haven't, so...
Oh, okay, that's clever, yeah.
You know, she's used the time to get to know them. So now she'd just be treated like she's been there forever. It was really actually smartly done when you look at it in terms of structure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was also a cute episode, but just in terms of structure, it was actually really weirdly smart. And I don't mean weirdly like they're usually idiots. I mean weirdly like I don't think I've ever seen that episode used that way before. I think my gold standard, though, for Groundhog Day episodes is still Supernatural.
Oh, yes.
Just for the Dean dying hundreds of times. That was priceless.
Oh, my God. Yes, that was fantastic. And somehow got funnier every time. I don't know what it is about... I'm just thinking, like, Edge of Tomorrow. I'm like, there was nothing funnier than watching Tom Cruise get killed repeatedly.
Right.
And I never more thought... felt like that Tom Cruise was like an approachable human being in a movie than when he was being killed repeatedly.
I think it's something important about it because it reduces the stakes down to zero. Like, you don't have to be like, oh no, this character, you don't feel bad. It's just one of these, like, it's a goofy kind of Punch and Judy sort of, you know, play.
Yes.
And so it lets you kind of laugh at it and feel like the character is almost in on the joke, even though they're not. You do kind of feel like more in on the joke of like, isn't this kind of funny?
Right.
Because it's
low
stakes,
in on
so
the
you
joke.
Can play it for humor.
Right. So it's like, you feel like they're in on the joke, but really they're painfully dying repeatedly.
Right.
But it's funny.
Oh, humanity is fucked up.
It's actually, speaking of Groundhog's Day style episodes, I was rewatching The Good Place, season 2. And I was... you know, watching, of course, episode 3 of season 2, or episode 2, which however you want to, like, place it, in which they sort of are rebooted constantly. And at one point, when they go to the medium place, and Mindy St. Clair sort of says, you know, oh, you've been doing this a long time. And it's like 800 plus reboots. And so I sort of thought, well, how long would this be? And I thought, there's no real... like, a couple of the ones that we see only, like, these universes sometimes only last seconds. But maybe they last a few weeks. Maybe they're there for, like, years at points.
Well,
you
no.
just
We
don't
know that the longest one was season 1, and that was a couple months.
Oh, okay.
Someone mentioned that, like, the longest one was, in fact, the first one, and that was, like, 9 months.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah, someone did sort of like a rough back-of-the-book math where they're like, well, we've seen that there are this many, and they can only go this far, and most of them didn't. You know, most of them went like half that. Someone did that. It's still a really long time, but...
Yeah, yeah. I'm just wondering how they knew that was the longest one.
One of the writers mentioned it. That's what I was saying. There was something with one of the writers who was talking about this. Like, it's not an in-show thing.
Okay.
Although, Michael might have mentioned it at some point.
Okay, well, that's good. That's well. I don't care what the writers say. All I care about is what is in the text itself. But anyway, huh? So yeah. But anyway, so it's just I was just curious. I was like, well, how long could it be? Because even despite what the writers say, I mean, they could have been there for like freaking hundreds of years, right?
Yeah.
Let's say each one lasted 6 months. That is like centuries still. I mean, it's
oh yeah
yeah. It just gives us interesting extra dimension. Let's say they're a
Oh, it
century
totally
old or
does.
something, yeah.
You know, it helps explain how Janet has drifted so far.
Right.
Because it hasn't been our reckoning of time, it's been that one. And it's like, oh, okay. Sure.
Sure, indeed.
Why not?
Anyway. But anyway, I also caught up with Black Lightning, which I like. I don't really. The truth is, nowadays, I mean, except for maybe Legends, I don't care about the other CW stuff. I like Black Lightning. It's
Yeah, no,
just.
Black Lightning is good. I had one moment of confusion this episode, that maybe I just missed something. I don't remember Anissa getting the name Thunder.
I think I don't remember that either. I think they just decided to start calling her Thunder. Or maybe
Well,
they
that's the thing,
edited
it's
out
like,
some.
yeah, I think they might have dropped a scene, because suddenly this last episode, Jefferson just mentions, like, Thunder, and I'm like, what, when did that happen?
Yeah. I know.
Also, things will get awkward, name-wise, very shortly, I think.
So what's yeah, what's the other sister's name supposed to be?
Lightning.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, because back when they were both, like, well, because she was first seen in Kingdom Come, weirdly enough, as just Lightning. It was kind of like just physically made of electricity. And then the comics, they stuff move forward, and you get Thunder, and then you get her sister also has powers, and she's known as Light. She basically has the same powers as her father,
Right.
but she doesn't know how to control them. But
Well,
she's
in
known as
this,
Lightning because
right.
her father wasn't really in play then. And it's like, okay, but that gets awkward in the show now, doesn't it?
Well, she seems to have a different sort of power set from her dad in the
Yeah, they
show.
might be
She's
changing it a
burning
little bit.
things. Yeah. So I figure they're probably gonna call her Ow Bernie Bernie Hot Hot. That's gonna be her name. And they're just gonna say it every time, just with a total straight face.
Right.
But yeah, no, it's Black Lightning is I kind of like I kind of like everything about it. I don't know. It's just episode after episode. It's like, and it's clear at some point they were kind of I realized they were on like a compressed season, so they had to sort of move things forward quickly. And so it's really nice to see them just sort of jumping ahead, like they're not drawing out Gambi's sort of shifting
I
alliances
was worried
too
about
long.
that too, yeah.
Yeah, like I thought, how long are they going to like have him be increasingly obvious that he was not who he says he was, and that they would have to sort of do things like have characters say, "I know things, and I'm not going to tell you yet."
Right.
No,
I mean,
they've dispensed to
there's still
that
a
bullshit.
lot of question left.
Yes, obviously.
But yeah, no, when that first started up, I was like, this is not a good sign, and then they've been dealing with it really well.
The other weird thing though is that this is, and I'm not sure what they're doing, if this was deliberate or not. In the last episode, the mother, I cannot remember her name, is looking at the vaccine that
Yeah.
that her father-in-law had, and then comparing it to a sample of green light. But they're using like the visual is like a DNA strand,
Yeah.
or like, and I'm like, so is this like a living thing? Is it like a little sort of weird kind of organism vaccine
Yeah,
against like a
it's.
virus? Like is green light a virus of some kind, or did they
Or are
just
they just
not?
doing bad science?
Yeah, I just thought maybe they just came up with this and everyone was like, cool, and then nobody quite realized it.
Right.
So I mean, if it's the latter, then okay, that's fine. Bad science on like a graphic. This happens in shows, right? But if it's the former, that's kind of, because I mean, there's whenever you're talking about, whenever you're doing a work that involves like racism, and brings in issues of family, then genetics become a thing. Like genetics as a weapon.
Right.
Used by racists. Genetics is like a part of a way of like talking about family, about passing on these powers. So I'm like, this is fascinating. So
Yeah, no, it's a very smart show so far.
yeah.
And they're not quite going where we think more often than not, which is nice. And yeah, I am curious to see given that they are just going, like, just the hell with it, let's just tell story. Like, okay,
yeah.
let's see how you run. So, yeah. The the other thing this weekend that I watched, which is not TV, although I watched on my TV,
okay,
was the Thor Ragnarok commentary.
Oh, that would be fun.
It starts out kind of, like, it's funny, because it's just Taika Waititi himself. There's no one else there. And it starts out with him just kind of making, like, little jokes and just kind of not really relaxing into it. Like, you could tell that he's just lost. And then he eventually kind of picks up and starts talking about the movie more and goes places. But what's funny is that at some point, and on and off for the rest of the commentary, his daughter comes in. And she's, like, you know, 6 or 8. And so there's just, like, this little kid who's just going, like, oh, no. You know, uh-oh, all the time to it. And it just gets really funny. And at one point, like, she leaves, and then she comes back. And she's, like, you know, she keeps, like, near the end, she keeps asking him to turn it off because she wants to watch Moana instead.
That's so funny. Oh, this is great. Now I want to go pick up the Blu-ray so I can listen to that.
Yeah, no, that is definitely worth it. There's a Grandmaster short in there, which is definitely kind of... Do you remember the short that... I don't think it's actually on the disc. You can probably find it online. They did before the movie with, like, Thor on Earth in New Zealand has a roommate.
Oh, yeah, you can... I think they're kicking around on YouTube and whatnot.
Yeah, they do
Barry
a sequel to
or
it.
Someone. Oh, do they? Oh, my God.
Where the guy who, you know, used to have Thor as a roommate, looks for a new roommate, ends up with Grandmaster. And it is everything you would want from Jeff Goldblum, just being goofy.
My God.
I haven't watched deleted scenes yet, but... So yeah, no, the disc is definitely recommended if you like the movie.
I do. I don't buy many Blu-rays these days. I kind of, because of the ubiquity of sort of digital versions of things, I find that I wait. I only get Blu-rays of things that I really, really sort of know that I'll want around for years. But I mean, I still do get Blu-rays. And I was actually thinking of picking up The Last Jedi.
Yeah, that apparently has some really good documentaries on it too.
Yeah, and I'm curious about commentary. I'm wondering if what sort of things Rian Johnson has to say. And if only for that detail that Laura Dern kept on saying pew pew when she shot, like, her blaster. That I find incredibly funny. So,
well, I mean,
it's
a standard Star Wars issue, right? Like, that's normal. For Star Wars. No, I mean, you go back to, like, Ewan McGregor, who was like, oh, okay.
Pew, pew.
But whatchamacallit? I've been kind of just not buying as many Blu-rays either, except, and I don't know if it's so much of the, you know, so that these aren't things I'm gonna, I mean, obviously I'm only gonna buy them if I'm gonna be watching them a bunch myself, but there's also this weird thing, for me at least, where I don't count on streaming existing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I know what you mean with that. Like, you don't know if something that you at one point say, oh, that's available, and then suddenly it's not. And maybe, yeah, like you say, streaming itself, the format may change so much that, yeah, you just can't rely on it.
Right. And I mean, especially with things like, you know, the Marvel movies aren't going to be on Netflix anymore.
Right. I mean, I've got the Winter Soldier. That I really like that movie. So that's
kind of fabulous.
Physical media. Yeah. So that's sort of my go-to Marvel movie of choice. Have you seen the? I know you don't generally like go for trailers, but have you seen the latest trailer for Infinity War?
I did, and I did. And I didn't want to, but I also knew that, like, I could either watch it or I could watch it in GIF sets over the internet for the next 3 weeks.
Oh yeah, good point.
So I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna give in. Because y'all fuckers won't leave me alone. And I enjoy the hell out of it, don't get me wrong. Like,
oh, yeah. I just watch it, and I no matter what, I just keep on thinking of, like, Thanos is being made out of, like, you know, like a celestial sort of spat out a wad of pink bubble gum, and it became Thanos. I don't know, just the look of his skin. But also the great scene at the end where he's got like the glove, where he's like he looks like he's gonna punch Captain America, and Cap well, like ah, and I just kept on watching the, yeah. going, yeah, eat the glove, don't wanna.
Well,
eat
it's
the
funny
because
one
wanna.
Of the biggest scenes. In the original comic, of course, is like right near the end-ish thing where it's just pretty much the only players left are Captain America and Thanos. And Thanos is like, right. You know you're going to die now, right?
yeah,
and
I was
like,
well,
yeah, that's your problem. So
actually,
just
I wondered,
like they're playing with that tool.
Yeah. I was wondering actually if that was, if Infinity War is Chris Evans' way out of the Marvel Universe.
Well, it's probably Robert Downey Jr.'s, I feel like it's going to be both of them, but I don't know if they could do both in the same movie.
Yeah, that would be quite the thing.
Maybe
they'll do
anyway.
It at once, like they accidentally collide in midair and just like, bam.
Nice.
Just, oh, damn it.
I like it.
Yeah. Hard to say.
Oh, so, you know, it was actually funny because the tickets, at least in here... In here, in the U.S., went on sale Friday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. And I'm out here in Pacific time, and, you know, I don't get up at 6 in the morning usually, but I couldn't sleep. It actually was up at 6 in the morning. And so I was like, oh, yeah, let me go see if they actually like, came online here. And the theater near me only had tickets to the special fan event showing.
Oh.
Which starts an hour earlier. So like, and their big selling point is it starts an hour earlier. So, like, you know, normally your first showing is, like, 7, instead it's, like, 6
right.
o'clock, and it's in 3D, and you get, like, a collector's coin and, like, small popcorn, you know, like, that's their fucking thing, right?
Right.
But it was the only showing that there was, and I was like, well, let me go see, and, like, there were already tickets being sold. I'm like, let me just grab seats to this, because I can always be like, I can't make this show, and get a refund when the other seats come online.
Right.
For the other showings. So, while I'm explaining this to Laszlo, and this is, like, you know, 8 o'clock or so. All the other shows, like, seriously, in, like, the minute and a half it took me to explain this to him and then check my phone again, all the other showings came online and sold out.
Crap.
So I was like, no, at least I had tickets.
Oh, you got the tickets already.
I got the tickets.
Good,
I was like,
good.
I'll spend the little extra money just in case. So I have tickets to the 6 p.m. fan event, and I'm like, oh,
Ooh.
I don't... But these are people I don't want to go see this movie with. And... and I'd see it in 3D now. But at least I actually get to see, because, you know, usually I don't care. I mean, I like seeing things, you know, opening night, the first showing if I can, like the Thursday, 7 p.m. works for me. And because, you know, I'd rather not be spoiled by stuff. But for the most part, I don't care if I am. Like, if I hadn't seen Spider-Man, they're like, oh, you know, the Vulture's actually like this day. It's like, I wouldn't have really cared. It wouldn't have ruined the movie for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It would have been nice, which is the way I did see it, which is to see the unspoiled, but again, if it had happened, I don't really, like, I wouldn't have been, you know, like, oh no, this movie is ruined! No.
See,
I
still love...
But if I can see it...
If you can. Yeah. I still love the fact in my city, I've told you this before, like, we've got two sort of big first-run theaters, and one of them is the one that everybody goes to, and the other one is the one that nobody goes to. And it is, by all measures, a superior experience.
Huh.
The screens are a little smaller because it's an older theater. That's fine.
Sure.
But they always... But they have recliner seating. Like, just... And you can, like, pull up the arm and, like, sort of, like, snuggle with your loved one if you so choose. Which is fun. And it's just like there's never huge lineups, and there's usually a 2D screening there as well of whatever movie you want to see. Like at the other one, you'll get like, well, you can go 3D, or you can get like really loud 3D, or you can sit in a little box with your loud 3D and have a beer. So, and I just don't give a shit about 3D. I just want it to go away and never
Right,
like
no, I'm with you.
pollute my eyeballs. So the greatest thing is like, oh, I can see like a 2D screening in pure comfort without massive amounts of crowds, and I always buy tickets in advance, but it's not like it's going to all be sold out like the other one, which is always like if you don't jump on it right away, you're just like
Right.
looking at like some
Yeah, no, the theater
bullshit seat in the
I go
front.
to here is like, it's usually, except for like big openings, it's usually fairly, sane and calm and all that. It has reserve seating, advance ticket purchase, so like not only do I know I have tickets, but I know where I'm sitting, I get to choose good seats. It has the big comfy recliners, and again, it doesn't usually get nuts. Big things like this or Black Panther, whatever, it can get tricky, But it tends to be a pretty good theater. So that makes me happy. But yeah, no, the fan event thing, I'm just like, I don't want to see the movie with these people necessarily. Like, they're gonna be annoying. And the 3D thing, I think, can go to hell. Usually, this movie theater actually has a really good split of showings between
That's
2D and
cool.
3D. But again, the fan event thing is just, it's only in 3D. I can't, do anything about that. But I
The
think it's a movie
other,
I'm probably gonna go see again. Yeah, that's what I was
yeah,
saying,
of
like, about the
course.
spoilers, was, like, this one, it's not that the spoilers would ruin it, but, like, if I have the option to see this one, like, that, like, by the time the first showings let out, I mean, even beforehand, when the first reviews come out, good luck going into this cold.
Right, exactly.
So I feel like if I miss that first showing, like, I have no chance at all. It's not like well, I can kind of dodge them for a few days. No. So I'm gonna go see it. I'm gonna go see it a little earlier, even, so, like, I have no chance of really being spoiled outside of, like, early reviews. And then probably that next week, I'll probably go see it again. To, like, go see it in 2D and with a crowd that isn't quite as obnoxious is my guess.
I'm gonna see it in 1D. It's just gonna be a point.
Just a flip book.
Just a flip book. Welcome to the theater. Here's your flip book. Would you like a large Pepsi? Sorry.
Yeah.
Too bad. No Pepsi.
No
I don't know
Pepsi.
what I'm talking about.
But yeah.
What was I gonna say? Well, the other great thing about that theater is that I like so much is that it usually has the slightly less successful movies, like the ones that aren't quite as much of a sure bet.
Right.
So, for example, Annihilation was playing there. It wasn't playing
Yeah.
at the big one. It was playing at the small one, and it ran longer than I thought. Like I thought for sure Annihilation would be like 1 or 2 weeks, but nope, it lasted like 3 or 4,
See, and again, like
which
this movie
amazed
theater, if you
me.
come out here, I'll take you to it. Because, like, again, they have 16 screens, so they have things like Annihilation. But then they're still like, well, we still have two screens with Black Panther too. Like, they have a good
Yeah,
spread of weirdness.
I like that. That's what that's
So, like,
my idea.
It's kind of overbuilt. Like, most of the time, if you're not going, like, Friday night or Thursday night for a big opening type of deal, like, it is almost empty. But it's this big, comfortable theater that's, like, just so overbuilt for the amount of crowds it gets.
Right.
Because it does get them on the weekend, so it makes it up.
Man, yeah,
So it's nice.
this sounds like fun. I like the whole idea. I was gonna say, when's Ready Player One coming out?
It
Do
isn't,
you?
shut up.
Oh,
I actually have no clue
I
when it's
like
coming out.
that.
All I know is that next Thursday I already have tickets to Pacific Rim 2.
Right, I'm gonna be seeing that because
Which, again, it's not
why
gonna be
wouldn't you?
as quietly thoughtful as the first one.
No,
Partially
no.
because I think everyone, when I say everyone, the majority of people seem to have missed the quiet thoughtfulness of the first one.
Yeah, I mean, and I understand why, because when you go in to see a movie about giant robots fighting giant monsters, you don't expect that, and unless and sometimes you don't see it because your
Right.
expectations override what you see. Yeah, no, I think this is going to be a little more heavy, just heavy on like action,
Punching.
just from the trailers. I mean, just
Yeah.
it looks a whole lot more punchy, a whole lot more like spectacle
And that's
driven.
fine. If this is like their teenager, like, just fuck it, we're gonna blow shit up movie, that's okay.
And it's got John Boyega, it's got Bern Gorman or I think it's Bern Gorman, and Charlie Day. It's got like a bunch of the same
Yeah.
cast. It's got Rinko Kikuchi in it. Although I have this weird feeling she's gonna play a small role. I don't know why, but it just
Yeah, I
feels
think a
like
lot
it.
of those older roles are going to be smaller. It has that Eastwood brother who everyone is trying to make happen.
Right.
And I don't know why. I mean, not that he's bad, but, like, it feels like I keep wanting to call him Chris. Let's just put it that way.
Right.
Like, he just feels
I
like one of
hear
the
you.
generic white Chris boys.
Oh,
And he isn't.
speaking of generic, speaking of like weird casting, with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they had Jake Busey with
Yes.
like this
Yes, they
horrendous
did.
fake tan. And just clearly at points, he seemed to be like smiling at something almost off camera. It was like, I think they thought, hey, let's get Jake Busey in, and then that was a mistake.
I'm just glad that Jake Busey has aged the way he has, because when he was younger, when he was in, like, Contact, when he was younger, he looked like this guy I knew in college. And, like, I mean,
Jesus.
just spot on looked like this guy. And
Oh,
it
that's
would always
terrifying.
throw me in movies. Like, I could never buy him in any film. I mean, just it's completely my problem, but it's just, I could never quite buy him because he just looked too much like this guy I knew. And so, like, this time I was like, I recognize it was Jake Busey, but, like, he didn't look enough like that anymore. And somebody I haven't seen since, like, the early 90s, so maybe he looks like that too now. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. It takes it out of that mental field for me.
I just feel for you having known somebody who looks like Jake Busey in Contact. Like I would have like bad dreams, if that was like a person in real life for me.
I will tell you a story about that boy after we're recording, because
Okay.
I'm nice. That will make it even funnier for why it hits me, and I'm always like, "Oh God, really?"
Okay.
But yeah. So I don't know. There was stuff. There were things.
They're all things. We actually are coming up to the hour mark, and here's the
Yeah.
thing. If we don't stop the podcast, I'm going to start talking about like paper that I used to write on.
Ah, yeah. No, I hear you.
See, that's yeah, you got and nobody wants to hear that. Unless it's like some specialty podcast, which this is not the specialty.
No. So yeah, we could cue some music
Yeah.
and call it a day. We've gotten along a couple weeks in a row, so
Yeah, exactly.
this all
All
makes
right.
sense.
Let's get
So
some
yeah,
music in. So I
Woo!
first encountered Japanese paper back in